You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
Our text is so short, I'm going to read it again. Read along with me. Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. As I mentioned, I'm not looking to do the shortest sermon here. In fact, we do know that this is the shortest psalm in the book of Psalms. It is also the shortest chapter in the entire book of the entire book. When I say the book, I mean the Bible. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, this book is at the center of all things. When I was a kid, we used to do things in church. I grew up in the church, and we used to do things called sword drills. In this day and age, it's really kind of difficult because everybody has their Bible on these things now. But we used to use our Bible. And we had to lift our swords to the sky. The teacher would say, swords to the sky. And then they would give a passage, and then they'd say, charge. And frantically, we'd be looking for the text. Well, consistently, there's a strategy to this, right? Because as you're growing up, you learn to do it well. You wanted to be the one that could get first consistently. So we learned that opening up to the center of God's word was a good place to start. And from that point, then you knew which way to go, left or right. So consistently, our Bible was open to those of us who had been doing it for a long time, to this area, Psalm 117. I have tried to do sword drills using the phones, and I will say that sometimes people are quicker with the written word. There is something still to be said for having a paper copy. Our devices are tools that God has used mightily, but there is something about the written word that is just, insert your adjective, great, amazing. And so at the center of all things, we have this text. John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, said this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church, but worship is. Missions exists because worship does not. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate and not man. This is a very missional psalm. In fact, when looking at the list of psalms, I kind of overlooked this one because it was so short, and I didn't think there was a lot there. But the bond and encouragement of my brothers said, this is a very missional psalm. I'm like, okay, I'm missions, I'm all on this then. And I'm glad that I did select this one, this psalm. It is short, yes. They say that small things come in big packages. Sorry, big things come in small packages, rather. And that is the case with this psalm. There is so little here. In most versions, 30 words is what we have here. 30 words, can you believe it? And so, as we work through this, I pray that you see God's heart. I pray that you see that this is the center of all things. It is the center of God's word. But I believe, as I've studied this and as I've looked at this, I believe that this is at the center of God's heart. This is God's character on display for us, almost like a Reader's Digest version of who God is and what he is about. And so that's why I start with the John Piper quote about missions, is because it's about worship. Worship of who? So we have little facts here in my introduction as I work through here. It's both the shortest psalm in the Psalter. It's the shortest chapter in all the books of the Bible. Spurgeon says this: this psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceedingly large in its spirit. For bursting all bounds of race and nationality, it calls upon mankind to praise the name of the Lord. Luther so enjoyed this psalm that he wrote 36 pages of commentary on it. Are you still expecting a short sermon? I'm not Luther. I know this is a big shock and surprise to you. But 36 pages of commentary on this. That's 18 pages per verse. There is something for us to glean from this small, overlooked psalm. This psalm, 117, is part of a six-song hymn, so to speak, from Psalm 113 to 118. It is known as the Egyptian Hallel. It's built around the emphasis of Psalm 114. It's the celebration of the Exodus from the people of Israel from Egypt. Thus it is the Egyptian Hallel. These six songs were sung as the Hebrews gathered to celebrate the Passover. And what was the Passover? It was God's great act of salvation on their behalf. Psalms 113 and 114, they were sung before the Passover meal. Psalms 115 to 118 were sung afterwards. Here's something I wasn't prepared for when I started studying this. Jesus and his disciples would have sung these very songs the night that he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You could see this in Matthew 26:30 or Mark 14:26. So just before Christ's betrayal and arrest, Jesus Christ and his disciples were singing these psalms. What was Jesus thinking about? Right here. These psalms. And we'll focus on 117, right? The Reader's Digest. You can go through all of these songs and you will see these points. Though 117 is anonymous, it is international in scope. It reveals the heart of God toward the nations. Verse 2, he loves them. Verse 1, he desires that they worship him. I'd like to refresh your memory. What book were we studying before we came here to the Psalms this summer? Romans. That's right, Romans. Paul, do you remember Romans 15? Paul quoted this little jewel here in Psalms, right? Paul quoted it as evidence of God's redemptive love and purpose. God has always included the nations. God has always been true to his word. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we're going to be studying Genesis soon. Do you see how this all ties together at the center of all things? It just excites me greatly. I don't think we sat down and thought this through, but when we're using God's word, it all ties together because it's all about him. It's his story, correct? And so we see in Romans 15, I want to read it to you, Romans 15, 8 through 12. Maybe you remember it. Paul strings together four Old Testament texts demonstrating that it was God's plan always that the nations would glorify him. Romans 15, 8 through 12 says this, "For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come up, even as he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles will hope." This short chapter, two verses, brings the whole world before our eyes. This short chapter helps us see where God is looking at. In the center of all things, God has this. This psalm follows a pattern. It's a command in one verse and then the reason in the other. It's quite simple. We are told what to do in verse 1. For you who are taking notes, this I call the call. And then in verse 2, it's the why we do it. And I call this the cause or the reason. The psalm opens and closes with the same word, praise. In Hebrew, hallelujah. It opens the same. Psalm 117 is a universal invitation to the people of the people everywhere to praise and brag on Jehovah because of his merciful love and faithfulness. No God is like our God. Do you recall last week in our study about idols? No God is like our God. Last week's passage just happens to be part of this Egyptian halal. This hymn is indeed short, and there are times for short hymns and times for long hymns. Short prayers and long prayers, short sermons, medium-sized sermons, and long sermons. But here, just a few 30 words in our text, it is sufficient to bring home the point that the loving and faithful God should be praised and glorified by all people groups of the earth. This is a missional psalm. Let's unpack the verses a little bit. The call. Verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. God desires that the nations praise him. Praise is a choice, not a feeling. We are not to praise the Lord only when we feel warm and fuzzy. We are to praise him even in our most troubled moments, for even in those times, he is our God. Perhaps this morning when you were coming here, you didn't feel like coming. I know I have those days too. I just don't feel like coming. But wow, as we worship in song, as we worship in just communicating with each other, as we worship in the word, when I leave, I know that it was well worth fighting through that feeling of not being here. Here's the unexpected surprise as we look at this. Normally, it is to the people of God, the covenant community, who are called to praise the Lord. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar, all right? But as I was reading and studying, this is not the case here, that it is just God's people. This word nations, as you would see in our English translations, the NASV, the NIV, the English Standard, the Holman Study Bible, they use this word nations. This nations, this word, does not refer to political states as we would think. So if you were to quickly read through this, oh, praise the Lord, all nations. Oh, okay, praise the Lord, Israel. Praise the Lord, Greece. Praise the Lord, United States of America. This is not the intended translation here. This is not what's trying to be conveyed. Nations refers to people groups, different ethnic and linguistic groups. When you start saying these type things, you immediately go to missions, I think. Well, my mind does. I don't know. Is your mind go to missions when you start thinking linguistics and people groups and things like this? Okay, good. Joshua Project. Have you looked it up? Is it on your phone? The Joshua Project lists 16,000 different people groups in the world. This number is always changing, and it could be different by whatever you're looking at. But of those 16,000, 6,741 are unreached. Still a large number. The percent of unreached people groups is about 41%. Of the 6,500 total languages in the world, 2,400 of them have some part of the Bible in their language. And so for you mathematicians out there, that means about 4,100 still need God's word in their language, in their heart language. This is quite a large number. The work continues. The work continues. At this moment, there are groups of people who do not have one jot or tittle of God's word. Praise the Lord, all the nations. 4,100 language groups have no hope of praising Jesus Christ, the King Jesus, the Lord of the universe. There are perishing people who are headed to hell because they have not heard. They have not seen. We see in this passage here that our great God desires that they would praise him also, that they would be saved. This psalm, praise the Lord, all nations, is to people groups. Let's move to the next phrase, that God desires nations extol him. Now, when was the last time you used the word extol? Part of your language? No? Daily use? How about laud? That's another word that's used in other translations. No, okay. Praise, maybe so. But here, this word has the idea of bragging on someone. It means to make much of someone. So what does it say? Make much of him, all peoples. Our God is shown by his people to be great, good, and awesome. We are to gossip in a good way, I'm saying good way here, about the great God we know, love, worship, and serve. My daughter has just purchased a home. I know, isn't that wonderful? My children are adulting. They're living life, and that's a good thing. You know, I'm trying to make an illustration here, but it's probably not going to be the greatest. So I could switch to sports teams because I didn't talk to my kids before throwing them under the bus like that, right? So, thank you, son. My son is never afraid to speak out when here. Behold, my son. When your sports team is doing well, do you just kind of sit quietly by and not say a word? Yes, you're shaking your head. Yeah, okay. Some people are like so excited they'll start just spilling forth facts. Here's my point that I want to make. When we are in love with something, when we cherish, when we have great excitement about something, we share. We extol. We proclaim. We don't sit and silently say nothing. Peoples, like nations, refer to the ethnic, language, and cultural groupings by people. A good word for this is tribes. I know that word is kind of taboo now. It's not a politically correct thing to say, but when you're studying God's word, these things do come up, and it gives a better understanding of the point that's trying to be made. Note the word peoples. Note that it doesn't say people. There's an S on the end. Multiple. Great numbers. They are people who share common language, culture, interest, ideas, and values. Whether a mile away or 10,000 miles away, they need to be confronted with the God, the one true God, worthy of praise and worthy of glory. And they need to hear the message in a way that they will understand. We must not use religious jargon. I don't need to unpack that one. You know, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you understand the little churchisms that we use. We need to stay away from those things. We need to use the common language of God's word and deliver it fully here. John Piper again. I enjoy reading him. John Piper says this: the reason God seeks our praise is not because he won't be complete until he gets it. He is seeking our praise because we won't be happy until we give it. Missions is calling the world to do what they were created to do, namely, to enjoy making much of Christ forever. This is what verse 1 is showing us. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. There is rhyme and reason to God's call to magnify him among the nations. It is not arbitrary or whimsical or misplaced. It is not because this celestial bully, if I could use that, or deity on a cosmic ego trip is looking out to crush his created. It is a call that is rooted in the very nature and character of God. And that when rightly understood, this causes us to rise up and worship him because we must, because we want to. It's something that comes from the heart. As you would see in, getting away from my notes, but that's all right. Isaiah, I believe it is, God takes away our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. Right? And this worship comes from that heart of flesh. And it's not that we one day just decide, oh, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, I'm going to come and I'm going to worship. This very worship comes from the character and nature of God himself. And as he pours into that heart of flesh, we are transformed. And then worship comes forth because of the overflow of what God is doing in our hearts. Here we see in this passage, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. Nations and peoples, these are not just believers. These are not just God's chosen nation, Israel. No, this is all peoples. I don't understand how all this works, but I know, because this text tells me so, that God is following hard after all peoples. I hope you see that as well. His great love for us, and he will be faithful to us. This is the God of this text. So we see here we see the call. God has called us. I feel like I'm missing a page. And indeed I did. But that's all right. As we move into verse 2, I'd like to take you to Exodus 34:6. This is what Exodus 34:6 says. If you want to turn to it, great. Or just write it down and look it up later. Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness, in truth. You remember the story. I believe this is when Moses was in the cleft of the rock. God's describing himself. So we look here. Verse 2. For great is his steadfast love towards us. Steadfast love. Have we heard this phrase before? Yes. Every psalm this summer, in some variation, this word has been there. If you're in the Tuesday night small group, you've heard me mention this many times. And now I've been to study it a little bit more. We're going to have a great time Tuesday night. come on out Tuesday night. If you want to come and you're not part of our group, join us. This word, hesed, it appears in our text. The English language has a hard time really defining this word. It's so multifaceted. If you want to write down the Bible Project, they have a great little, I think it's like 4 minutes on just this word. It's kind of fun to watch. As I looked through various translations of our Bibles, the New King James translated it this way, merciful kindness. The NIV says just love. The New American Standard says loving kindness. The version we're using here, the English Standard Version, steadfast love. The Holman Study Bible says faithful love. The New Living Translation, unfailing love. Do you see the different facets? We'd have to go through and study each word. Time is not going to permit this morning to go through that. Perhaps in your small group time would be an excellent time to do this, to just look and see this character of God. Note, the text says his loving kindness is great. Is great. This is a strong and vigorous word used for on the stronger side in battle or overflowing floodwaters. Ideas like mighty or prevailing, overflowing, this captures some of the significance of this word. If we were reading a Hebrew text, we would see that you might consider that they made a typo because it would say hased hased. Two, repetitious, word after word. What did we learn last week? If it says it once, we should probably listen. Twice might be pretty important, right? Yeah. Here, this hased hased, it is, it's mighty, it's great. His mighty love over his people, his created people, is great. God floods his children with this love. For great is his steadfast love towards us. God's very character is shown here. There is much to study, much to study. It's only two verses. It won't be that long, will it? So how do we apply this to the mission of God to reach the nations? Missions is telling the nations to praise and extol Jesus Christ. God's way to restore the relationship that was broken by sin way back when. It's giving evidence of why they should do so. Why should they worship and extol? Well, it's because God has made a covenant with the people. He used Israel to demonstrate that. He made a covenant with Israel. In turn, Israel rejected God. In fact, they went and made idols. Psalm 115, right? But yet God remained faithful. We see this biblical truth throughout Scripture. He is a God of love. He loves his glory. He loves you. He loves me. He loves his creation. He loves the world. What does it say? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the nations. For God so loved the peoples. 1 John 4:8. And 16 tells us that the essence of his nature and character, God is love. God is love. So working back to our text, the call, praise and extol. Verse 2 Why? Why do we praise and extol? Because God is love. And his love is steadfast. His love is unbreaking. We see closely tied to this in the second half of this verse that God is faithful. If our God's steadfast love is great, his faithfulness is eternal, everlasting, and endures forever. Consider Genesis 12. We're going to be studying it, I don't know, in maybe a year. I don't know how long it will take to get to chapter 12. But we see that God made a promise to Abraham. Was Abraham a Jew? No, he was not. Genesis 12, all the earth, all the peoples would be blessed. From Abraham came Israel. From Israel came Jesus Christ. You see that God has kept his word. And this is simplifying it greatly, right? This is paraphrasing many chapters here in the book. Abraham, Israel, Christ, evidence that God is faithful. He kept his word. What God has promised to do for us in Christ is as certain and sure today as the day he made those statements. It will always be this way now and forevermore, for Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. He will not change. For this reason, we can praise the Lord. We extol the Lord. Call on him, and you will be saved. It's a good thing that I don't have the ability to know each heart here. In fact, I can hardly know my own. Perhaps today you are in the dark about what these things that I'm talking about. You don't understand what it is that you would be saved from. You don't understand or see the need to have a Savior. You look here and you just don't understand verse 2. So what? So his steadfast love is great. But to you, I would say that this passage, this verse, this psalm at the center of his word is for you who are without Christ. This is a call for you to worship your Creator. He desires that relationship. He provided a way. And this is why you would worship, is because he provided a sacrifice. He sacrificed his own son so that you might have life. And for those of us who have, whose eyes have been opened, praise the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord. He continues to show himself faithful. Does he not? Consider the ways. This is a small chapter and verse. You could memorize this quite quickly. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if some of you already have it memorized right now. And so in remembrance of what God has done for you, you praise him. You speak of him because, why? Because great was your sin. Great was his redeeming path. Isn't it good that God's faithfulness is not contingent upon our faithfulness to him? This alone would be reason for praise. I know I think of myself. There are times when I fail, when I sin. Yes, God's faithfulness is there. His sacrifice has been paid. It endures forever and ever and ever. This tiny psalm is great in faith. Its reach is enormous. Its reach isn't just for here in this building at Sunrise. It goes to the world, to the nations, to the peoples. Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all peoples. Revelation 7, 9 through 10, we read this. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out, extolling, praising. Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. John Piper said this again, missions exist because worship does not. This is a missional passage. It should cause us to be thinking of the nations, of the peoples, consistently, every day. When you came to worship today, when you were driving, were you necessarily thinking of the nations? Or were you just thinking of what was going to be happening here today? This is important. This time of worship is important. But our God is bigger than this building. He's bigger than just what's happening here in Port Richey, or in the state of Florida, or in the United States of America, or in North America, and the world. Our God demands our praise. Praise the Lord. How can we say that he demands our praise? Well, once again, the principle of, if you see it once, great, take note. If you see it twice, you better pay attention. There's something there. Praise the Lord, all the nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love, and his faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. God can call all mankind to worship him. In fact, he will and does. To praise him because of his very nature, his hased and faithfulness. This is at the center of God's word, and this is God's heart for his people. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this psalm, may it throughout this week be an opportunity for you to seek your Creator, to seek your Redeemer, to seek the one who offers steadfast love, unbreakable, the one who is faithful. In your groups, and if you don't have a group, join one. Join one. Tuesday, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, I believe, are the days. Again, the little QR code will take you. Get engaged. These are the opportunities that we together study these things, that we together encourage one another in these things while it's called today. God's word is important. He's crying out, demanding that we praise him. Pray with me.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.